This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Seven the Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That's the foursome. But joining us right now on the Mattress Ross Hotline, like he does every Friday at this time, is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golf season, it's here. Golfdom has you covered in Tyson's or at golfdomgolf.com. Come experience the best in clubs, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, JP. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing well, John.
Good morning, John.
We're getting ready to head to spring training. Do you enjoy spring training when you've gone?
You know, I've always loved spring training. There's even though it's become more formal and more, I don't know how to more formal than it was when I first went back in 1992 when I was working on my first baseball book. It's still totally different than regular season games. The ballparks are more intimate. There's the feeling that spring is coming up north, and you know it's coming. And from a reporter's standpoint, you get great access to the players. You can be in the clubhouse for basically as long as you want to before the game, even sometimes during the game and after the game. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed spring training. It's cool.
Have you been paying attention to the capital struggles here of late, John?
Well, I've been in Florida for the last week or the last five, 6 days. So not close attention. Obviously, I follow the scores, and I know – right. They really haven't played like the Capitals since Christmas.
Yeah.
Which is, you can't call it a slump because it's not like they're not winning any games or not scoring any points. I was in town when Ovechkin got the 700th goal last Saturday. Mm-hmm. And what struck me was they lost to the New Jersey Devils that day. Mm-hmm. And that's not good, losing to the Devils. And of course, it was sort of overshadowed by Ovechkin getting the 700th goal and all the talk about what that meant. And that's why I think the moves that McClellan has made at the deadline made sense, because clearly they were not playing as well as they hoped to play once the playoffs start. Now, having said that, and we've discussed this before, hockey season is a long season, just like basketball season is a long season and baseball season is a long season. Football's not. And you're going to hit bumps. This is a long bump, I will say that, and that mm-hmm. would concern me as a Caps fan. But you remember in 2018, they didn't play that great in the toward the end of the regular season, and you know how that turned out. So
right.
I don't think you panic. But I think concern is legitimate.
Right. I know we were talking about, like, you know, you're never as bad as you think you are when you're kind of struggling. You're never maybe as great as you are when you're on a hot streak.
Right.
You know, but the question is, do you think they can turn it around? Well, of course they can. They played so well at the beginning of the year. So it doesn't mean they will, but they're certainly capable of it.
Well, and the other thing is that they've got a really good young goalie, and they have a goalie who's won a Stanley Cup. And when you get into the playoffs, your play and goal is so critical. You don't win Stanley Cups with you know, a mediocre goaltender. You win Stanley Cups with a very good to great goaltender, very good at least. And Holtby has been great in postseason at times. And Samsonov, of course, has shown tremendous potential. So I think on that alone, plus the fact that they have, I think, still the best goal scorer in the game on their team, there's no reason to think that they can't be very competitive in the playoffs. Now, the one thing I will say is, while the Caps have been sort of struggling a little bit, the Penguins got Sidney Crosby back, and they've been playing much better. And we all know how dangerous the Penguins can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely scared of them.
Hey, and Tampa Bay's played very well, too, by the way.
Hey, John, I assume you've been to PJ National a bunch.
Yes.
And I get down earlier than the other guys, so I get down to West Palm at like 11:15. I have an opportunity to go to the final round of the Honda Classic. But I've also heard that it's just a cluster with all the people that go and getting in and out of there. Is it worth going over there for one day if you've never been there before?
If you've never been there before,
which I haven't.
Jason, yeah, well, I'd say why not? One thing, it's worse. It has been worse in the past in the years Tiger Woods has played, because the security ratchets up and traffic is tough getting in and out of there. That's why when I'm down there, I always stay at the resort so I can literally walk to work. But it is tough getting in and out of there. You got small town cops monitoring people, and this is their one week of the year to have some real authority, and they make people's lives miserable. But once you're there, once you get in, it's a beautiful golf course. It's a tough golf course. It's playing really hard right now because it's been, for Florida, cold and windy the last 2 days. The guys who teed off at 6:45 this morning, it was 46 degrees.
Wow.
And it was a little warmer, but not much, and windy yesterday. So I would say unless you're like me and you get very impatient very quickly, or you just don't want to deal with the hassles, because there will be hassles, I would say go.
Well, I'll have to take an Uber or a cab, and they'll probably have to drop me off 5 miles outside of the gates.
No, I think I can't speak from personal experience that they do have an Uber cab drop-off point that's not that far away.
All right, okay.
You'll still be taking a shuttle to get into the property, but it's not like way down towards I-95 or anything like that.
Not horrible. All right.
Joined by John Feinstein, who has a new book, The Backroads to March. And I believe you're going to be at Politics and Prose Monday night at 7, talking about it?
I will be. That's our official book launch. The pub date is Tuesday. And I will be at Politics and Prose, which is the bookstore. It's the independent bookstore on Connecticut Avenue Northwest. It's a great bookstore. But it's the same bookstore where I had my first book signing for Season on the Brink.
Ooh, nice.
So it's very cool whenever I get to go back there. And two old friends of mine from the Washington Post, Bradley Graham and Lisa Muscatine, now own the store. And so it should be a cool night. I hope people will come out.
Speaking of Season on the Brink in Indiana, did you see, you probably didn't see it, but Archie Miller, the head coach of Indiana, and Bruiser Flint, the assistant, did you see them going at it on the bench last night in the Purdue game?
No, I did not see that.
Bruiser is his own assistant?
Yeah.
And they were going at
Bruiser it? Bruiser's Archie's assistant. He used to be the coach at Drexel.
Right.
And Bruiser's a pretty intense guy. So
got
that nickname. Yeah, so is Archie. Yeah. I'd bet on Bruiser in a fight, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. He's a lot bigger.
He got that nickname from his grandfather when he was like 2 years old.
Right.
Bruiser.
It just, the way they were going at it, and I'm sure, you know, assistants bicker all the time, but they were screaming at each other. And, you know, Indiana was terrible last night. They didn't even score 50 points, lost the game. It just looked like two coaches who may be looking for jobs at the end of the year.
Well, things are pretty tense at Indiana. They're pretty tense at all schools right now. I mean, we're 2 weeks from Selection Sunday, 2 weeks from this Sunday, and there are a lot of teams on the bubble because there are so few dominant teams in college basketball this year. So Indiana is certainly one of those teams that needs a couple, three wins here in the next couple of weeks if they want to play in the NCAA tournament. And Indiana fans don't consider the NIT to be an event worthy of them. So I'm sure there is a lot of tension there. And like I said, like you said, Jason, we're talking about two pretty intense guys.
Right. And if they don't make the tournament this year, that's three consecutive years they haven't made it.
Right. And that's a an unacceptable streak
for
Indiana and not making the tournament. In fact, I think Tom Crean got fired after making the tournament and losing in the first round.
Yeah, I think he did.
So the standards there are pretty high.
Yeah.
What you know, speaking
check
of,
out that video when you get a chance. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'll check it out when I get home.
Speaking of 3 years without a tournament, you know, I think by all accounts, Patrick Ewing's done an amazing job with his team, but you know, it looks like they're going to be on the outside looking in. Too many losses.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Yeah, right. Too many losses. But he's done a pretty darn good job. Where does Patrick Ewing stand with the Georgetown folks?
Well, Patrick Ewing will always be protected by the presence of Big John. And he was probably about the only guy who was acceptable to Big John after Little John got fired. And they, you know, they lost a lot of players, and they played well. They had a couple of amazing wins, you know, without the two best players. They went on the road, and I think they beat somebody good, Marquette or somebody like that. Not Marquette. They got blown out by Marquette the other night. But, yeah, I think in terms of coaching the players he's had, Ewing's done a good job. But the flip side is when you got all these players transferring, that's your responsibility because this is entirely his team now. So you look at coaches two ways. All right, who'd you bring in? Who'd you retain, especially in this world these days? And then how did you coach them? And again, they're not going to make the tournament again. They lost in the first round of the NIT last year to Harvard. So they still got some steps to take to get back to where I think people agree Georgetown ought to be.
Yeah. The team they beat was Butler. I think they beat Butler a couple
that was
weeks
it.
Ago.
They beat Butler. Butler was ranked at the time.
Right,
yeah,
right, correct.
That was a very good win.
Very good.
And you're seven, and McClung didn't play in that game.
Right.
Where do you stand on the Tom Brady watch? Do you have any interest in this? Any fascination in this story?
I don't see how you can't be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking the greatest quarterback of all time. Somehow this has become a soap opera. We were talking about this the other night. Somebody's bluffing somebody. Either the Patriots are bluffing Brady by showing an apparent lack of interest and saying, yeah, go ahead, shop yourself, see what you can get. Or Brady's bluffing the Patriots, and he doesn't want to leave, but he's trying to ratchet up the price by saying, yeah, the Raiders will pay me $30 million a year, or that somebody will pay me this or that. You never say never in sports because crazier things than this happen. I just can't imagine Tom Brady not finishing his career in New England.
I agree.
I mean, I think he has a sense of legacy. I think that's important to him. And for all the talk about he and Belichick don't get along this, don't get along that, for crying out loud, they won six Super Bowls together. And you put that aside, I think, if you're the kind of competitors they are and say, okay, you know, maybe we're not going to spend the rest of our lives playing golf together, but let's go out and win another Super Bowl before this is done because this is, I think, arguably the most extraordinary run in the history of the NFL. Why cut it short? It's not like Brady was bad last year.
Right.
Brady was still good. He just didn't have any receivers who could get open other than Edelman.
But, you know,
so
go
ahead.
Well, John, JP brought up a great point. Now, a totally different circumstance. He was retired and he was working here. But, you know, you never could have imagined Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards. These things do happen.
Again, that's why I say you never say never.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. That's exactly right. But on the flip side is, how did that work out?
it was kind of interesting.
Well, interesting is an accurate word to use, but they didn't make the playoffs either year.
Nope.
And when I watched Jordan back then, I said to myself, if you closed your eyes and did not know who this guy was, you'd say he was a good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know that he's Michael Jordan, it's like, holy cow, Michael, come on, take a shower and go home.
Right.
Because, I mean, people called him Giant Jordan at that point. But look, going back to football, it's amazing to me how many of the great quarterbacks, not good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, did not finish their career with the teams where they made their legacy. Johnny Unitas finishing in San Diego, Joe Montana finishing in Kansas City, Joe Namath finishing in L.A.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, all over the place.
Peyton Manning. I mean, different circumstances, but a lot
different.
Of guys.
Peyton was different because the Colts cut him.
Yeah,
the Colts cut Peyton Manning. That was a little bit different, and he did win a Super Bowl, even though he wasn't a shadow of himself with the Broncos. But for the most part, when quarterbacks want to stay a year or two too long and their team doesn't want them anymore or they choose to leave, it doesn't work out great.
Isn't the Patriots, like, if let's say they lowball him because they don't really want him, that's in essence cutting him, no?
Yeah, no, yeah. It is. And the interesting thing about Brady is he's played for less than his value for most of his career. So for him to go into Bob Kraft, who describes Brady as his fifth son, and say, look, Bob, I've played for less than I'm worth for 10 years. Give me a last big contract. I don't think that's an unreasonable position for him to take.
Right. Where do you stand on Mel Kiper? Are you a pro? Are you a Mel Kiper guy or no?
Not. I don't have anything against Mel Kiper. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
But I've never, as you guys know, I've never been a draft guy. I mean, I don't like listening to, you know, oh, here's Mel's latest. It's like with the bracketologists.
Yeah.
You know, they change their mock draft boards every day.
Every day, of course.
And Mel, for a guy, look, you make as many predictions as he does, you're going to be wrong at times.
Of course.
That's why, as you guys know, I generally avoid making predictions on anything. But he makes them with such assurance, like, I'm always right. And he's not always right. No, nobody is. I've only talked to him on a few occasions in my life. He's a Baltimore guy, very popular around the Ravens, by the way.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything against him. Let's put it that way. But the work he does doesn't interest me. Like Joe Lenardi is a great guy. I've known Joe for years. I love Joe. I hate bracketology.
Yeah. So then,
separate the two.
Yeah. Where do you stand on Kiper's opinion that the Redskins should not take Chase Young and they should take Tua
at number two?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Again, I don't consider myself enough a football expert to make a judgment on the quarterback situation. It seems to me Rivera is not enamored of his quarterback.
Right.
That he might want to look elsewhere. I personally think that they made a good pick last year. I think the kid's got a chance to be a very good quarterback. But again, I'm not an expert. I'd love to know what Doug Williams really thinks because he is an expert. But God, Chase Young's awfully good.
Right.
I mean, you're talking, it seems to me, from what I've seen and heard, he's a generational player. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Tua is a generational player, and he tends to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. He does.
I agree with that.
And all right, then, John.
I was going to say real quick, and if they do pass on Chase Young, and let's just say the Giants took him at four, and he turns out to be the next Lawrence Taylor, and you're facing him twice a year.
You're living with that for the next 15 years.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I'm a believer in, unless you have an absolute desperate need, best guy available. And Young is the best football player available who will be available at two. And I still think Haskins has a chance to be a very good player, but I'll go back to what I said before. I do not consider, even though I wrote a book on quarterbacks, I don't consider myself an expert.
Well, it's hard. Yeah.
All right, John. Well, the new book is The Back Roads to March, The Unsung, Unheralded, and Unknown Heroes of a College Basketball Season. You can go out and see John on Monday night, Politics and Pros at 7 o'clock.
And I'll be speaking, answering questions, and signing, I hope, lots of books.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, John.
Talk to you next week.
Yep. All right.
The great John Feinstein. We will talk a little more Redskins coming up at 8:40 with John Keim from ESPN.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Yeah, you know, I asked Jason yesterday if he still had his hookup at Wolf Trap, and this song that Valdez is playing kind of reminded me of, because he said, what are you going to go see, like Bare Naked Ladies or whoever else is coming to Wolf Trap this summer? My wife is butt-sized for, this is a pretty good double bill, Goo Goo's and Lifehouse, I believe, playing together. I mean, just so many hits.
Yeah.
so many radio-friendly smash-ola hits are going to be at that show.
My girl Heidi Kaberski would probably take care of you. And you probably have the little VIP lounge.
Where?
Trust me, I am going to
Wolf Trap.
I will reach out to her.
Yeah, I
will,
love Wolf Trap.
I will extend the tentacles through you, through the hookup, and make that happen.
My wife actually told me she wanted to go to Toad the Wet Sprocket's coming.
Right.
With, God, who are they coming with?
You said, I think you said Bare Nakeds and...
is it Bare Naked?
Maybe some other one other band, too.
That's a good show. It's right up my alley.
It is, yes.
That's a good show right there.
It's in your wheelhouse.
It's the whole thing. It's not just Glenn Phillips. It's the whole,
I think it's the whole
band. It's the entire
band.
You still have your Toad t-shirt?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
I think I have two t-shirts, I think. No, maybe it's just one.
Hold on. It was Toad, but it was also someone else. Really
I'll
good.
Look at the schedule and tell you, Ricky.
Perfectly cool band t-shirt.
You wouldn't. Tades.
Nah, it's silly.
It's nasty.
Here's the answer. Nasty. Here's the answer. You wouldn't.
Yeah, I think
you
I have two
wouldn't
of them.
Get rid
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Some t-shirts I'm going to have until I croak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway. Like that old Maryland t-shirt I had in my bowling ball bag.
Well, that one you could probably get rid of.
That one I did get rid of.
The probably part with.
Has been retired, right? You got the new one.
Yeah, I got rid of that. I got Drabby's new one.
I just know you're kind of a hoarder. You might still. No. You actually did toss it, right?
Not that big of a hoarder, but a bit.
Here's the show, Jason.
Close.
It's the Bare Nakeds are actually the headliner with the Blossoms and Toad in
Blossoms,
support.
That's what it
and
is.
It's sold out.
Yeah, but there's always some tickets.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
around.
Of course. Always some in reserve.
There's always an extra two or three just sitting on the table.
Well, especially when you know the people that run it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
I think she saved some for the media. The media.
Right. Exactly. And we fall into that
anyway,
category.
So that show is, that's, what date is that?
That is
July.
It is July 15th.
Yeah.
So when you go to Wolf Trap, do you bring your wine and all that? Do that bit? Like sit out on
No, because he gets hooked at the VIP lounge.
Yeah.
Which
isn't
is
a place
brilliant.
Where you can bring your own wine? I think you can.
You can bring in like
you
a cooler.
You can bring something in.
You can bring in like a certain size cooler.
Yeah, you have to. You got to hook it.
Put your blanket down.
Yeah, and you make a whole evening of it.
Oh, no, I like the seats.
I like having seats,
I
too.
I sit up on the hill.
Yeah.
I can't do
that. I'm too old to go in and do the lawn bit, no matter where it is, whether it's a Jiffy Lube or Wolf Trap or at Merriweather Post. I need pavilion.
All right, so we're going to have John Keim on here in, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. And I'm sure we'll talk about this. But and we kind of alluded to it with John. When Kuiper said, and let's play Kuiper's audio too, because he did say, now he's one guy, one opinion, but he did say what he thinks their skins should do it too. And we kind of talked about this earlier in the week. He thinks they should.
Can you move your bag away from the mic?
He's crushing. I mean,
it's just
you're
so
just
loud.
Crushing skin.
Is
pop.
It loud for you?
I can
barely. It's loud for the entire audience.
Can I get through
all right.
my,
I couldn't
my
even
setup?
Hear you.
All right, I'm sorry. All right, I'll try to chill.
He thinks that the skins should absolutely at Tua. If the medicals check out with Tua, they should take Tua instead of Chase Young at Tua. What do you think about that?
If you were running Washington, Mel, what would you do here? Would you believe in Haskins or would you grab Tua? I think I'd grab Tua maybe even over Chase Young. He's special.
Well, you can have all the Chase Youngs you want, Max. If you don't have the quarterback, you're spinning your wheels. This is a quarterback league all the way. What's the difference in the Super Bowl? Mahomes and Garoppolo late in that game. Fourth quarter, Garoppolo didn't get it done because he's a good quarterback. He's not great. Patrick Mahomes is great. Didn't have a good game, but he had a really good finish, and that's all that matters. So I think you look at Tua, if the medical staff clears him, and this is the leap of faith you have to take, the medical staff is going to be key to this, more so than the scouts and the evaluators. Mm-hmm. They're the key. If they sign off, you take Tua, too. There's no doubt about that. You take Tua. You don't trade the pick. You don't take Chase Young. You take Tua. And, hey, if Haskins turns out to be better, then great. Then we can trade Tua. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. We're not saying we're dumping Haskins. We're forgetting about Dwayne Haskins. We're giving up on Haskins. Let him battle it out and see who the best man is. Haskins
on,
already
Chase
has
Young,
a head start.
Fall.
He's got a year in the league. So let's see what happens.
Chase
fall
Young
to daddy,
the
Chase
Giants.
Young. Fall to New York.
Well, if that's preposterous. That's the part where it falls apart. They're not going to have an open competition and see which one.
You can't draft quarterbacks back-to-back in the first round and have them battle it out in year three or year
it
two.
It would be just like what happened in Arizona. They'd have to unload Haskins and get what they could.
Well,
they'd already had
that.
Made their decision.
I think he's just saying that. The reality is, if you really believe Tua's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the game, like if your evaluation says Tua's going to be a Russell Wilson. He's going to be an Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be an elite quarterback in the league. And Haskins is going to be just a guy He can be a starter. If there's nothing special about him, then you take Tua. But it's so inexact, you have no idea.
Well, does anybody? I don't think Tua is Russell Wilson. I don't think he's anything like Russell Wilson.
I'm not saying the traits.
Or if he gets that level.
I'm just saying Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe he is.
Well, I mean, if you could predict the future, you'd be a billionaire.
Yeah, of course.
Correct.
So, but here's the question. If you could have said, all right, before Tua had the hip injury, mm-hmm. if I would have said to you, you could have Tua. Pre-hip injury, you can have Tua instead of Haskins.
Still a big...
You probably take him.
What would you have said?
Sure. I don't know, maybe. But I'm kind of against the whole idea of back-to-back quarterbacks. It just makes it so wasteful. I just feel unless, like it's not even fair to Haskins, too.
But unless you think that Tua is going to be
just
much
so
better.
So much better. I think there's enough question marks
Jason
around Tua.
Jason said, though, something during the break, and this is... Look, we have no idea. Jason just threw out kind of a hypothetical. What if, you know, when they go to the board and they do their research, the Tua is just...
What if he just
far
knows the game
more
better?
Advanced. Yeah. You mean like Haskins is fine, but Tua just sees things like on a Peyton Manning type level, to use a different
I suppose.
Person. So if he's more advanced and can make all the throws and is healthy, then maybe you do make
if
that
you,
move.
If you do have Tua as that next level quarterback and he's a can't-misser, sure. But I personally, I don't know that he is. Because I have a lot of questions about him.
Because you may, let's just play this down the line.
Well, your questions are injury-related.
Injury, but also size a little bit right. with him. He's not a runner.
He's 6 foot, maybe 6'1".
You know,
what'd they measure him yesterday, Drab? Did you catch that?
I thought they measured him at 6 foot.
Okay.
Measured him right at
all right,
6 foot.
So he's a legit 4 inches smaller than Haskins. Maybe even 5. I don't even know how.
I think Haskins is about 6'3 or something, maybe. Yeah, I don't
so
know.
So maybe 4.
But I do agree with the overall premise. It's a quarterback league. We've been saying it for years.
Right, but I think
JJ Watt might have a championship. You know, JJ Watt, 3-time defensive player of the year, has got no rings because he had, you know, Tom Savage at quarterback.
Right.
At times.
And, yep. and a Dalk calling plays
right.
as the head coach.
Right, right, but I think Haskins might be good enough that you don't have to do it.
He might be.
It's a risk, but I think two is a risk too.
Of course,
yeah,
they're all risks.
Yeah. Now Burrow, I think Burrow's more of a sure thing.
Here's
than
where the regret will be that if 2 years from now, so let's say Rivera, they decide to go with Chase Young, and 2 years from now, so they got Haskins in year two, Haskins in year three. That Haskins is okay. He's you know. He's a fair quarterback in the league.
Marginally better than Jameis Winston.
But Tua is on that Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes level. Then you're going to regret it.
Of course.
And look, that's what...
You just don't know.
Mahomes has done that in 2 years.
Yeah.
So you're willing to just take Chase Young, stud defensive
player.
Or
trade down and get more picks.
Okay, let's just say Miami wants to move up.
Yeah, I would do that.
Well, that's a great option. But if you can't, what if Miami says, we're not giving you what you want, then you take Chase Young. You're willing to pass on Tua.
Yes.
You're just
because I think we
it.
Have a pretty good quarterback. I think he has a chance to be pretty good. I think his ceiling is pretty high, actually.
I'm willing to pass on Tua to see what you have in Haskins.
Right.
I don't think you've been able
I'm
to
just
see
saying,
it yet.
Could be a risk.
Oh, it's definitely risky.
By the way,
risk.
I think Haskins' floor could be pretty low, too. Yeah. Like, I think he is a wild card. Like, I think Haskins could be pretty darn good in this league if he puts it all together, but he also could be a big-time bust.
Yeah.
So
hey, what if he Blake Bortles it? He's a Blake Bortles.
Oh, if he's Blake Bortles, then it's... It's not as big a disaster as Bortles because he was picked at 3 and Haskins was picked in the middle of the first round, but it still set you back. It set your franchise back.
Bortles was a starter and actually went all the way to an AFC championship game.
Right.
But let's say he's a Bortles and Tua all of a sudden becomes a Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, if that happens,
guys who made an impact
if that
in a couple
happens,
of seasons.
Then Chase Young better be racking up 13 to 15 sacks every year. That's what kind of gets you off the hook. Like, if Chase Young becomes what you're hoping and expecting he'll be, that takes you off the hook a little bit.
Drabby, should we take a couple calls?
We have John coming up next.
We got John Kime coming up.
You can take one call.
All right. So let's go to, you want to go to Mo?
Sure.
Let's go to Mo.
Mo, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Mo.
Good morning. That was just for you, Lurch. So,
thank you.
EB, you're kind of flawed here, brother. Okay, you started off with the statement that you don't consider Russell Wilson to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
Incorrect.
That's preposterous.
Incorrect. I didn't say that.
So what did you did you just say? Maybe I misunderstood.
No, I don't think that Tua plays a similar style to Russell Wilson. I'm just saying that. That's all. I don't think they're the same type of quarterback.
They're pretty similar.
They're both short, but I don't see Tua as athletic-y, running around, creating with his legs like that.
Oh, I think he could. He could.
You do realize that the numbers that Tua put up in college in the most difficult conference in college football trounced Russell Wilson's numbers. And I'm the biggest Russell Wilson fan that you can
find.
Well,
hold on a second,
Mo. No, I actually really like Russell Wilson.
Hold on, Mo. You're saying what I said about Joe Burrow, which you called Burrows yesterday.
Okay, I know that.
You discounted all the numbers.
You discounted. You told me he was overrated. Now you're telling me that Tua is great because he played in the SEC.
No. Well, for one, I said that Burrow numbers were great for 1 year, but Tua has been the goods for 2 to 3 years now. Okay, there's a body of work that you have to pay attention to. Keep in mind, Joe didn't go off until they brought that coordinator in from the Saints. I don't want to take anything from him, which I kept trying to say yesterday, but we just got to pull the reins back, and you got to understand, look at Haskins. Don't get me wrong, he had a great year at Ohio State, but if you kind of dig deep into the numbers and the production and how far down the field he was actually throwing the ball, then you'll see that there's a higher level of quarterback being played for Tua than Haskins. Now, don't get me wrong, Tua has an incredible medical situation where, I mean, that's ultimately what determines where he's going to go and how high he's going to go. But let's keep it real. How high do you think Haskins' ceiling is, and how high do you think Tua's ceiling? And one more thing. We harp on the whole thing, oh, well, he got better towards the end of the season. Okay, if you actually look at those numbers and that production, that just shows you how bad he was at the beginning of the season. That mediocrity turned into progress for us. Like, we got to keep this thing, like, I'm kind of worked up about it because I've been having this debate with my boys, but we got to slow our road here. Haskins, I honestly don't think he's the answer because he doesn't prepare properly. The problem that I have with him.
Supposedly he's worked down there.
Yeah, we don't know what's going
on. Supposedly he's grown.
I think that's an overstatement.
All right, Mo, we got to run because we got John Kimes.
Yeah, we got John Kimes.
All right, thank you, buddy.
We'll get John Kimes' opinion on
this. I just think it's unfair to Dwayne. Dwayne showed enough promise that I wouldn't bail on him. That's all.
It is. Yeah. And I think in his last three games, his numbers were roughly 5 touchdowns to 1 interception.
I think he's grown a lot. I think his ceiling's pretty high. I think his floor is pretty low, too, though. He could be a big bust.
It's an interesting question.
We can take some calls on it a little bit later, but coming up next, John Kimes, who covers the Redskins for ESPN.com, covering the Combine, the Draft, and more, will join us here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. Going to talk to John Kimes from ESPN.com shortly. See if John is there right now. Punch him up.
John.
Give me a second. There he is. Hey, John.
What up, fellas?
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
John Kimes.
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing well.
Are you enjoying kind of all these Redskins storylines from afar that are generating from Indianapolis?
There's never an end to Redskins storyline. You guys know that. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
It doesn't. Let's just jump right into it. What is your take on Mel Kiper's position? He's coming out pretty strongly pro-Tua. It feels like the Redskins should pass on Chase Young. He said open up the competition to Dwayne. If they drafted Tua, they would ship Dwayne out of here immediately, I think. But what is sort of your take on that position?
Well, there's a couple of things on that. One, yeah, I think if you're not going to open this up to a competition, it's not just how it's going to go. I mean, if you do that, you trade him now and don't create a situation that becomes unhealthy once again.
Right.
So if you're going to draft Tua, you're committing to him, trade Dwayne and move on. I think the problem here is, is anybody confident that Tua would even be ready for this season? And you know, at what point would he be fully ready to play? Mm-hmm. So, like, any team drafting him, I think you have to weigh that. So if you're the Redskins, would you, let's say you're not sold that he'll be ready for the season, are you really going to go take a guy who, let's say he can't really do a whole lot till then. What are his contributions going to be to you that year? And so why would you take a pick, wasting a pick on him, knowing that, and then knowing his injury history at Alabama? I think that's the biggest thing, is the durability concern. So do you roll that dice on a guy with those injury questions about his game? I think without the health, he's a fantastic player. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, when you're projecting him, but the health is an issue here, and the durability is an issue. So I think it's really hard to separate that. I think to me, the harder choice would be if Cincinnati took Chase Young and Joe Burrow is sitting there. Just because of the durability. I mean, Tua can be a great player, but the durability concerns are real. And that's why I think, last thing on this is, the big thing will be, you know, the medical stuff at the combine is big, but then also the further medical test that each team does when he visits will be huge.
What if the doctors and the medicals are all clear? What if they say, yeah, he's 100%?
Well, I think that to me sets the timetable for when he can come back and when he'd be ready for you that year. So that's good, but I don't know how much will they be able to allay the concerns over the durability. And that would be my one question. And if you go in there thinking, okay, yeah, his hip is fine, but, you know, he's had this injury, he's had that injury, he's had this. I just think that may be difficult for some teams in the Redskins position, you know, where you have a young guy who has his own question marks, but you have a young guy and, which way is the bigger roll of the dice, you know? And so I don't know. I just think it may be hard to pass up on a guy like Chase Young or a trade for a guy that you may have real durability concerns about. Now, if you don't have that, then I think you have a different conversation. But I think that would be the case.
You're hearing kind of positive things from both Rivera and Kyle Smith about Haskins. What is your sense about where they stand with Haskins right now? Are they thrilled? Are they mildly pleased? What do you think?
I would say I think they are excited by the way he finished, what he showed those in the last, you know, couple games, the last month. And not just like on the field, but I think the work he was putting in. And then I think they clearly seem to be pleased about what he's showing in the offseason. But I think that part, to really get fully excited, it's going to have to come on the field. It's not, you know, I don't, you know what I mean? I think it's going to take more than that. But I think there's some cautious optimism. And I think the other thing is, I think they feel like they have a plan where they can really push him. And I think that's where I think they may want to test to see how that plan works. But I do think that they feel like they have that. And I think, you know, that's why I feel like they may end up passing on a guy. Again, the durability is a huge thing, but I think that's where I think they are with him. But I think it's been good so far. I mean, you know, it's February. I think, like I said, the real key will be when you get out on the field and when you're installing the offense, and then how is he operating within that, and what's the process going with there?
Right. What do you think? I said earlier, I don't know if you were listening, I think that Haskins still, I give him credit, I still think he has a pretty high ceiling, but I also think he has a pretty low floor. Like, he could really bust, but I still think there's a chance that he could really be very good.
He's started 21 games combined in college and the NFL.
Yeah.
So he is still growing. I think there's a lot he has to learn. It's not just, you know, I think you have to learn, and he even talked about it last year, how to be an NFL quarterback. It's different. And so I think that part of his game, if he matures like that, you know, the kid is ultra talented, right? Now, I did have some players would say, well, what does that mean? What does being talented mean? People, all these guys in the NFL are talented, so what separates? So I think that's where you want to see the most growth if you're the Redskins. You know, he is young. I mean, he's 22. And, you know, if he does the things that they want him to do, he can improve.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just, so I think, like I said, here's the other thing. And he didn't do this, so you can't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. What if he had gone back to college and goes back to Ohio State? They have a much better defense, so they're a much better team. He probably puts up bigger numbers, you know, or really big numbers still. And now you're looking at 2 years of huge numbers at Ohio State. What would the conversation be like now with all these quarterbacks? So I think that's, you know, and I don't know if that's like a fair thing to say or not. I don't know if it's a legitimate thing to say, but it is something that, you know, part of me wonders, you know, because if he had gone back and he has another big year, he would have been a Heisman finalist again. And now you're looking at maybe a different conversation.
All right, what's the old Buckeye bias I see?
I think it's fair to wonder, because he would have put up those numbers. That's a really talented team.
Sure.
And the team was better this year. So I think that's one thing I wonder about, like, would that have changed anything at all about the perception or the conversation going forward? Now, of course, that didn't happen. You know, we saw what happened this year. We know all the stuff that was coming out. And I think that's where this gets – that's where why there's this conversation about maybe going with a Tua from some corners. And so, you know, but I do think that right now they felt like the phrase I kept hearing, like, you know, they're excited, but clearly nobody is ready yet to say, hey, the Redskins – you know, the Redskins aren't saying, hey, we got our guy for the next 5 or 10 years. I think they still want to see more before they get to that point.
All right, John, let's assume that it just kind of plays out according to what we thought a month ago, that Chase goes two, there's no other draft thing, whatever. What then becomes the Redskins' priority for the rest of the draft? Where do you think they would go with their next pick?
Well, I think then it obviously depends on what happens in free agency, and then do they end up trading Trent Williams, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say right now they sign a tight end in free agency, but maybe they get a veteran receiver. Maybe they go with that third. And then it depends, like, what do they do? Do they sign a corner? Do they trade Quentin Dunbar? So what do they have to replace there? I think there's so many questions to answer before you can even get to answer that question. But I would say right now, I would, you know, maybe a receiver, because it's such a deep draft for a receiver. Mm-hmm. And while Rivera has said that, they like their young receivers, and he should. I mean, there's some good stuff there. I think they still want to add more. And when before they got rid of Paul Richardson, I had someone who knows what's going on there said that they wanted to find someone opposite McLaurin and is a one, you know, 1B to his 1A. So if you can't find that in free agency, then you're going to try to find some guy in the third round, probably. So I just think there's so many questions to answer before you can really know where they would go with those picks.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing any names in free agency that they like?
I mean, Austin Hooper is going to be the guy that's going to jump out, the tight end from Atlanta.
Right.
And I think that would be a big one to watch, because – I think any team, knowing the way this draft is, which is thin at tight end at the top of the draft, probably better in the third and fourth rounds. So knowing that, there are a handful of tight ends, or a couple of tight ends, that would be in play in free agency, and he is one of them. I think a few teams who, any team that wants a good tight end, will probably be involved in at least discussing things with him. But he'd be certainly one to watch, because they clearly need a tight end. And I don't think you can just go to the draft and think you're going to get what you need there. I think you may have to end up signing. That's why, like, Greg Olsen would have been interesting, because you could sign him. He could be, you know, your vet guy, and then you can draft a guy as well. So if you don't get a Hooper and you get a lesser tight end or a different tight end, maybe you still draft another guy so you can have multiple options at that position.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John, good stuff as always. This is John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, right, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Coming up next, we'll open up the entertainment page, touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, get the latest celebrity scoop from EB. Keep it here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.